pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a faithful. Will you? Thank you, Harry, for singing unto him now as you think about him. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Is that your desire? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Luke 2. Luke 2 and Matthew 14. I know the announcements have been made and everything, but remember now what I announced the other day that we would do this Sunday, that I'd like to meet if we could. And, you know, if you can't come or whatever, let me know. Or if they can't, your children can't be here, and we'll try to move it to another week or whatever. It doesn't matter, because they're going to be having the shower for Sister Monica Sunday. So, you know, if you want to wait another week, it'd be fine with me. Because what I said I announced would do is we'd just take like one Sunday, and we would do. I was listening to Prophet. I've heard him so many times on it. I thought, well, Lord, maybe you're dealing with me to do that too. And just talk to the children, you know, the girls one Sunday and the boys the next, maybe, or something, you know, to just kind of discuss things from about 14 years of age upwardly, and all of young people, you know, unmarried and things, to where that you can learn a lot of things, ask some questions and things about life itself, and just talk to you about yourself and things like that. And then, you know, take it one Sunday, then we just the next Sunday we take it and to have it to where that we do with the boys, you know, that way, and just discuss life itself as far as what's the real Bible way of being, you know, a boy and a girl and things like that. So keep these in mind, and like I said, if it conflicts Sunday, then that'd be fine. If you want to change it over to the next Sunday for the girls or whatever you want to do, but if something happens and you can't, we'll switch it backwards and forth, and, you know, we can meet and still just sit around and discuss it and all like that of the prophet's message and the Bible concerning young people. And, you know, I wish I'd had somebody in my life to been able to sit down and talk with, you know, to have helped me when I was a young person coming up. It might have changed a lot of things in my life. So, you know, let's try to do that. And like I said, it's in conflict with the coming of Sister Monica's the shower that's coming Sunday, so if you want to, we'll just roll it over a week, push it up, you know. Now, if it comes up Sunday and a bunch of them come, the young kids that are not here tonight, and you tell the children what we're trying to do, your children, and if it does, then we'll go ahead and have it, because me and Peggy can take care of the fact, you know, even though they're having the shower, and we can do that between services. But just we'll just leave it as now to where we'll just move it up a week, you know, and move it over to where it were. Or a week or two, because it's going to be into the ending of the year. So we'll see what we'll do about it and do it that way. Because we need, I believe the young people need, if any whatsoever, is now the time to, you know, to where that maybe it's needful that we sit down and talk about some of the things of life, and maybe it would be a help to one another. So Luke 2 and Matthew 14, and let's pray. Anybody have a need before we do pray? Remember, the Lord willing, next Wednesday, Brother Forney will be with us, preaching for us for the Wednesday service, so remember that and just keep it in mind. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we desire to be what you want us to be, and that is a living sanctuary. Father, a place that you can dwell and that you can be pleased to dwell in us. We ask you that you would just guide us now in your love and understanding tonight, that we may all be together as one in you, forgive our sins, and lead us by thy grace and love, and let your light shine to each one of our hearts. And Lord, most of all, forgive our sins, because we know we fail you in the thoughts of our mind and the things that we think on, Lord, that are not right according to you. Just cleanse us and make us walk in you in the right attitude in thy word, Lord. Guide us now as we read your word. You come and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Luke 2. These are very familiar scriptures with us that we'll be using tonight, but you'll see the point of it as we move along. Go to verse 25, Luke 2, verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. All right, now you will understand in a little while we're using this. Go to Matthew 14 and we'll start reading with verse 25. And at the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we were speaking this past Sunday. This is message number 6 on faith. And we'll give you the title in a little bit. But we've been talking about faith, talking about mental faith, you know, and how that you must have mental faith before you can have a spiritual revelation. That should be understandable by all. But the prophet said the biggest portion of our faith is mental faith. All right? We think it's revelation. We think it's, you know, the truth. But yet it's just built upon mental faith. And mental faith, remember, has to have something to look back to. It has to have some kind of a foundational thing, you know, to look back upon and to depend upon, whereas a true born-again Christian, their basis is based upon the Word and what the Word said, what the Lord said. Right? But then we got into, and I try not to background so much, but I must get a little bit. Then we got into this last Sunday speaking on two services there on anointed ones and talking about how the anointed ones, that the prophet said they're truly anointed with a genuine baptism on the message, anointed ones. And I gave you others where he said they were anointed with the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, but yet still lost. All right? And then he said, now they're anointing upon their spirit. And I covered at great length with you about how that we think that a lot of times, and it's basically I watch the people of the message and how they talk about things, and they think that the anointed ones is anointed on their spirit and we're anointed on the soul. Well, I just can't see it that way. I'm sorry. I've tried to prove my point over all of these years, looking at it and trying to help you and I both to understand, because I believe the anointing comes down upon your spirit. And that's what's wrong with the people when they don't have the Word in their heart. The Holy Ghost can't quicken the Word that they have. If it's a hybrid Word, how could the Holy Ghost quicken a Trinity? How could he quicken the things that the people believe that is contrary to the Word? He won't quicken it because it's not true. But see, then even on a true one, the Bible said the disciples took the Word and held the Word. See, then when the Holy Ghost fell, it came down upon their spirit. And when it did, it quickened the Word in their heart. And that made a child of God. That brought the sixth sense into being, into the heart or soul of man. And that's the difference in it. The anointed ones are anointed on their spirit and live in the five senses, because that's where they're anointed at. Of the memory, reason, conscience, affections, and that's where they're anointed at. So they live in that realm of that anointing. All right. Whereas the genuine born-again Christian, he lives by the sixth sense, which is the born-again experience in his heart. But yet, most everybody thinks anointed ones is anointed, and we're not anointed. What are you talking about? You're really making it into mass confusion. Why not think about it simply? That when the Holy Spirit comes down, it's like I taught you, or tried to Sunday, and always have. Jesus was a man, the body. He was my brother. So body to body, he's my brother. Spirit to spirit, the anointing can come upon our spirit, because it was his spirit that in sundry times and divers manners, the prophet said, that spake in the Old Testament. The spirit of Jesus Christ was. But see, then the soul was the baptism of the Holy Ghost that come into the heart. Well, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit and it still not be in the soul to make your soul eternal. And see, I hope that's understood then. And then you can understand the anointed ones and why they do like to do. Because they live in that spirit realm. They live in that memory, reason, conscience, affection. They live in that realm. And if something's not emotionally going, or some kind of a workup, or some kind of a feelings, or not, they can't believe that it's of God. Whereas the born-again believer can stand right there and say, whether or not I feel it or not, I believe it. Like I told you, you're not going to be too much emotional if they stick a gun to your head and say, what do you believe? No. See, it's not that way. See? The anointed ones, see, they believe in part of the Word, and they can take that part of the Word that they believe, and through that, believe, and God will honor their faith, because he set that law into motion. Just as he set a law into motion that the sun would raise, you know, every morning, he set into motion there in the beginning that there would be a spirit in man, and that spirit in man, that he would come down and try to deal with that man in that spirit realm. And that man could be like Balaam, be highly anointed, even prophesy, even what he has said is written in the Bible. But yet he himself turned out to be lost or false. I thank God for the truth of understanding it, because I'd be greatly confused. I'd be like the prophet was when he saw the two men, you know, one speaking in tongues and other than interpret and vice versa, and one of them was a real genuine Christian. But he said the other one was a hypocrite if he'd ever seen one. You know, had a couple of children by a different woman, you know. But yet the Spirit would move on both of them. He went home confused about that until God revealed to him that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So then I wish we'd get the point of understanding that Brother Branham didn't preach what the people titled the message. He did not title the message False Anointed Ones. He titled the message Anointed Ones at the End Time. The person is false, not the anointing. The anointing is a genuine. You say, well, why would God allow that to happen that way? To try you. To see whether or not you'll stay with the Word. Because he said that he would use this bride in the end time to show Satan she wouldn't fall like Eve. All right. See, that's why I believe in all emotionals and things like that. I believe in all of the feelings. Why? Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon us. I believe in all of those things. Speaking in tongues, shouting, crying, all kind of, I believe in it. Like Brother McGarity told me one time, he said, Brother Dale, sometimes I run. I said, well, if you get started, don't stop. I might run into you. And I wasn't joking. It just never struck me to do that. Brother Richard Wilson always says it about him. He said, don't see how in the world he can stand so still and preach the way he does. Well, I'm keep on rubbing these buttons up here. That one right there is real sharp. I can clean out my fingernails with that one because it's the end of attack. And sometimes that's what I'm doing. Brother Dale. Yeah, because I'm tied to this thing. Because if I didn't, I'd probably get up and move a whole lot. See, this one back here, it's round. I just go around and around and around and around. He said, you're silly. I agree with you. But that keeps me from walking around a lot. And I still do that. All right. But now listen. Anointed ones walk and live by feelings. They don't care what the Word says. See, that's the way you know whether you're an anointed one or not. We're all anointed. If you got the new birth tonight, you're an anointed one. Does not the Bible call you that? And Brother Brown called you a little Christ? You're an anointed one. But the difference is the one who is born again in the soul tries to walk. I said tried because I don't claim to all the time, but tries to walk by the rim of the Holy Ghost in the soul by the new birth. And sure, that's why we have so much trouble. And then even like I tried to cover the message of emotional Christians, real genuine Christians, but because of their background, Brother Brown said where you was born that would have a difference in the way your makeup was. That if you're born again under an emotional atmosphere, you'd be that way. If you're born again kind of a cooler one, you'll be that way. He said, that's the way you are. Now, that's your prophet, see. But you see, church, anointed ones walk after feelings, not after the Word. They don't care what the Word says. Like we was covering Sunday, they say, they'll come to Jesus and say, have not I cast out devils in thy name? Have not I healed the sick and all? He said, preachers. He said, and then they'll say, well, we must be of God because we get results. Well, you go up there, Lula's just so dried, why, you can't even hardly get enough saliva to spit, you know. It's so dry. Well, I don't think so myself, but it's all right with you. But you see, anointed ones live by the spirit realm. Because that's where they're anointed at. And true born-again Christians live in the spirit realm because that's where they're anointed at. But the soul is the controlling tower. And if the soul is not born again, what else is it going to do? See that? Check yourself. Check the people. What? See what they'll say about the Word. Somebody denies the Word. Well, Brother Branham ought have said this, or Brother Branham ought have done that, or, you know. Well, you're the one we're supposed to be following, not Brother Branham, if you've got a right to straighten him out. But you see people who say, but I just don't feel nothing, Brother Dale, while you're preaching. These other brothers come in and they just preaching, and I just feel so good. If I was you, I'd check that. You know what I mean? Honestly, I would. Because see what's being preached at the time. See? Check and see what depth of the Word is being preached. And ain't nobody in this church loves emotional feelings of a good old time in the Lord. And you know what I shout and cry more over than anything? When I get to hearing you shouting and crying, which is rare, but if I ever do, that hits me more than to be up preaching and see, somebody get, you know, see them and see this just light up like that. Well, that just gets me. And like I said, then here I am. There's that button. There's that. Hold on. But you see, church, it's anointed ones have to have something like that. Where true born-again Christians walk in the realm of the sixth sense, which is by faith. Now, so that's enough now of dealing with the back. Let's go on to something now. Because what I want to speak to you tonight about is faith for that time. Now, we'll read what the prophet said about it, because that's the very words he used. Faith for that time. All right. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to read a lot where the prophet said faith is a revelation. And I believe that. But I want to use it tonight as the lowest form you could speak of, where that it's faith being a revelation of something, but not being a substance of that. Well, brother, I can't do that. I just got to go back. Well, go right ahead. You know, it's all right. I'm just telling you what I'm trying to do, so don't try to mix me up upon what I'm saying. Stick with what I'm saying. You don't hear me. Check what I'm saying to see if it's right. See, because there's faith, mental faith, that is not a substance. But if you hold on long enough, and it is the right thing to hold on to, you know, now, and don't think you can hold on to a Trinity long enough for God to reveal it. Now, I read a thing on the internet somebody had brought one day about it, and this boy said that he had been in the message for a long time, but said he finally went to a Trinitarian church and got straightened out. See? Well, now, what all did he hear while he was in that? You know. But see, to him, the Trinity was right, after hearing all of the things about one God. Well, you could have asked him a year before then, maybe. 2 days, maybe, before then. Oh, I got a revelation. The prophet said this, and I believe this, and about it. And see, just going about it. Because 90% of the time, I'd say without anything, without any backup whatsoever, that was an emotional person. All right? But you see, there's a difference. Now, let me say it this way, then maybe you'll catch the point I'm trying to get across tonight. I'll cover it again in a minute to make sure. But we read about Simeon. Simeon, the Lord spoke to him. He had no Bible to read. He had no scroll to read to tell him that he wasn't going to die. There's no scroll that says Simeon will be in the temple and won't die. So then it was not a revelation of word. It was a revelation for that time. See? That's why your Old Testament people, they were not born again Christians. And that's why David in one moment could sing in the Spirit or leave Bathsheba from the bed of adultery and walk in home and start singing, "Return unto me the joy of thy salvation." Why? Because the anointing could only be in the Old Testament onto the spirit realm of a human being. Well, now we'll go right ahead with your quotes, do what you want to, but go back to the truth of it and see what it is. I don't care about your quotes, because Satan can outquote you anytime. Don't worry about it. I'll help you find them if you need them. Because I stand on what I believe by revelation. There was no born-again experience in the Old Testament. Now, I know the quotes of Brother Branham. I'd be glad to quote them for you. Where the woman said to Elijah, "As thy soul liveth." But remember, Jesus Christ had not died where the Spirit could come upon them in the person of the soul to make the born-again believer. No one in the Old Testament, even John, having the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, but where could that have been in his soul when Jesus Christ hadn't died to bring it to soul? He could come down with Melchizedek and deal with Abraham man to man. Talk to him. He could anoint David and them to sing in the Spirit, but he couldn't get into their soul to make them a born-again experience. That was only happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell and gave them the new birth. So they were anointed ones back there. Amen for what they were. Because they were for their time what was supposed to be for their time. But remember, that was for their time. That's what the title of the message is. For that time. Faith for that time. Simeon, as I said, had no Bible he could read. Simeon will be in the temple. But God spoke to him. Abraham had no scrolls to read. He couldn't find in there what he was supposed to be doing in the Bible. God spoke straight to him. Moses had a little benefit by his mother speaking to him. But Brother Branham said 1 minute in that burning bush was greater than all his mama's 40 years. Because God spoke to him. God can speak to a sinner. He did to me. And call me to come to Him. You mean you had to become a Christian before He could speak to you? That's the way a lot of people in the message believe things. I mean, it's just, it's so messed up until it's hard really to preach without going right straight through a line to get your point. Because just as quick as I started, all these ideas that I know that's out there among the people of the message that begin to come in and you say, well, you got to cover that, you got to cover that, you got to cover that, you got to cover that. I'm sorry. It would be easier to go to a denominational church. I had more freedom in Jamaica preaching to a bunch of oneness than a lot of times I have here in my own church. Sorry, but it's the truth. See, because they'll listen. They're not educated enough to know all the quotes. And Satan can't use the quotes against you there. But he does here, even in this church. But now listen, church. Listen closely, I wrote. Maybe it'll help us to understand what's going on. Listen closely to what I'm saying. Go back and listen to the tape. Listen closely. Because I'm talking about that God can reveal to a person without any background, from the, you know, without any scripture to read from. He can speak to you. He can give you a revelation. But it's a revelation for the time. Now, whereas when you get down to Bible faith, now listen to this point because I'll repeat it in a minute because I want you to understand it. Mental faith can be many of us have mental faith about one thing. But there wasn't many in the days of Simeon that had the word from the Lord that he would not die. He was the only man in the world that had the word of the Lord that he would not die till he seen the Lord's Christ. Abram is back in his time, was the only man in the world that God said, get out of your country and leave. No background, no Bible, no scrolls, no nothing to read from to be able to bring that out of. Now, these are just two I chose. I wish you would read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I wish that you would read Perfect Faith. Because you'll see a lot of what I'm speaking about from Perfect Faith. But do you see what I'm talking about now? Not that you agree with me. It doesn't matter to me. It does, but I know that human beings, you're just human beings. But at least listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking about tonight having not just a mental faith now. Because Simeon didn't have just a mental faith. Simeon had a revelation from God. Abraham got a revelation from God. Simeon was not a born-again Christian. Abraham wasn't. Brother Branham on perfect faith said it's hard to have perfect faith without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said because that's what brings it. And he's talking about the disciples who could not cast the demon off of the epileptic child. He said they had the power. They were given that. But he said they did not have the faith to use the power. We know of Peter when he was walking on the water. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he got a revelation he could walk. And he started walking. But then he lost his substance. And we really misquote this, so I won't correct nobody. I'm not correcting anybody from it. I'm just stating it because we'll read what the prophet has to say. But he didn't really say that he kept his faith. He says he kept a mental concept, in other words. Let's just read that before we make sure, because I'm not, it's not, it's the same thing as to say, you know, that he had his faith, but he lost his substance. It's saying the same thing, but in case somebody on the internets or something, they get out there and they come on, well, you didn't quote what the prophet said. Well, we'll quote what the prophet said. Right. Look down at number 2 on your notes, which is tucking from perfect faith. And look down at the bottom where you got it underlined to save reading. Jesus said, come on. And he stepped down, said, it's the Lord. I'll just walk. But when he got his eyes on the waves, he got scared. What come in his mind? First thing, I'm going to walk because the word said for me to walk. And the next thing, he looked at his, well, he looked at his symptoms. He looked out there and seen how big them waves was, and he got scared. And when he did, down he went. See, what he feared happened. What he believed happened. When he believed he could walk, he walked. When he believed, got scared in his belief, then his substance left him. See, he still professed his faith. Now, that's not correct, and that's just saying, because that's the same thing saying he still had his faith. But just in case people want to be so technical, I thought of that the other day, so we just make sure and read it. Like he said, he still professed his faith, but he didn't have the substance. The substance would have went over top of that white caps and went right on. See, if he has the perfect faith, see, but he didn't have it. He thought he did. He did it first. He was willing to venture right out. Why, the Lord told me to do it. It's got to happen. Now, he did to begin with, but he lost the substance. But he still had his believing, you know. And the Lord did bring him back to the water, to the boat. But as we read there, he said to Peter, if you take it that away, in other words, Peter was right on the water. He said, oh, if you have little faith, why did you doubt? But then he took him, put him in the boat. Because it's hard to have, as I said about the prophet on perfect faith, saying about those disciples trying to cast that demon off. He says it's hard to have perfect faith without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. But see, even with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can let things come along and you can have God can actually reveal to you that you're healed of a sickness. And you be totally delivered. But then you can turn around and that thing can come back on you because you lose your substance. But you still got your mental talking. All right. But now we're going to cover this because this is going to come in later. So I'm going to put it here, then we'll cover it later. You cannot have a baptism, you cannot have a revelation from the Word of God of one God, water baptism, you know, no eternal hell, etc. You know, you can't have that and lose it. That's why people said, like I said, the man said, well, I thought it was one God and Brother Brown was right. Now I know it's the Trinity. Now, he didn't have that revealed to him, but he had all the mental thoughts in his mind. You cannot lose a revelation when God reveals it to your heart by the new birth. Because now there's the difference. Anointed ones deal with only emotional situations in the realms of the Spirit. Whereas the real born-again Christian deals in the new birth and the birth of the Word. So then he is always, the new birth inside of you is always on the positive estate of the sixth sense. But now outside we can have problems. Come on, I know I said this to you about probably 10,000 times. Sometimes I see something that's as clear as a crystal. Is that the way it happens to you? A few days later, I'm wondering. I don't mean I'm wondering, is it right? But I'm just, well, what did I see? Because I don't seem to have that right now that I had right then. You ever done that? But you can't lose that now. I didn't have that in my notes, but I'm going to make sure you understand. It's just like we were covering there the other day where the prophet told me there's a way that seemeth right unto man, you know. And you cannot be, the newborn believer cannot be lost. You cannot be deceived to be lost. But you can get, the Satan can get you tangled up. Until the prophet said he'd have to cut the work short. Or there'd be no flesh saved. All right? Now, if you'll look at that from what I've tried to preach for many years, you can see that there ain't going to be but just a few get there where that change comes. Because what's the prophet saying? He'd have to cut the work short. There'd be no flesh saved. He ain't talking about the world. There's going to be people in the world. How are we going out of here? He's talking about genuine born-again Christians. A lot of people have got to go by the grave. Why? Because they can't stand on what they believe. To hold it as being truth. But see now, what did he say? He said he still professed his faith. And it was right there in front of him. It took him back to the boat. He never said, "Oh, that must not be you, Lord." No, he didn't say it. He was still right there believing what he did when he stepped out. But he just lost the substance and held him up. That's what's keeping us out of the rapture, folks. Amen. But now I want to make sure, let's just read this and to start with up the top off of Perfect Faith, paragraph 48, which is preached in 1963, 8:25 in the evening, and you'll see it. You'll see the title of the message. Now, other words, I'm venturing out. Well, I'll go. The Bible said, call the elders. Let them anoint with oil and pray over him. I know I'm going up. And you say, well, I'm going to be healed. See, you're making yourself, if you don't watch now, you're going to make yourself just worked up. And then when you pass through, you say, oh, I still don't see. Well, see, there you was. You didn't have faith. Now listen, your genuine faith will do it right there. Your genuine faith will make it so real to you that look at that little woman with the blood issue. She said, if I can only touch the border of his garment, I'll be made well. And as soon as she did, she said she felt within herself that the blood issue stopped. She actually believed it. You know what? It was revealed to her that she is healed. And when she touched it, to prove that it stopped, it stopped. Jesus turned and said, who touched me? That perfect faith. And that same perfect faith tonight will touch Jesus Christ just as it did then. The woman come with a perfect faith for that time. Because she wasn't a born-again Christian. Could it only be within for that time? All right? Now, when we read these about faith being a revelation, keep it down to the situation I'm talking about. That throughout the Old Testament, you see people with faith for the time that would jump up and grab a jawbone of a donkey and just kill 1,000. Because they was living in that spirit realm. They believed in that spirit realm. Now, how much that contacted the soul? Don't ask me, but I'll tell you one thing. It couldn't give them a born-again experience because Jesus Christ hadn't died. I know Enoch walked off the earth. I believe that's the key for you and I one day. Because the key is going to go on over to Matthew 17, where it says, if you say unto this mountain, be moved, and doubt not in your heart. That's not to a Christian, that's to anyone, the prophet said, that can believe it. Now, if Enoch could walk off the earth upon what he had without a new birth, come on. What's wrong with me and you that claimed a new birth? Maybe we don't have what we claim. But you know, you say, well, Brother Dale, you just make me feel so bad because you condemn me and I don't really know where I'm saved or not. Amen. Because now you can do something about it. Because if you don't, you're going to die and go to hell shouting your way there. Believing you're like the woman that taught Sunday school and all kind of things. But when a real soul come up before her to death, she looked at that pastor and said, you deceiver. But they put her spirit out, brother Brown said, shooting her with hypo needles. The woman died and went to hell screaming. But all of her life she thought she was right. I'd rather find out tonight I'm lost. That's right. Amen. Then I can do something about it. Amen. I had to face that because the people of this message says and teaches and always how, you just come in the message to prove you got the Holy Ghost. You just come in the message to prove you got the Holy Ghost. Well, I was 2 years in this message before I received an experience that was enough for me, and I received many experiences, even back in the denominations. Like I told you, Brother Moak didn't have to argue with me all day long when he told me, he said, you're a Trinitarian just like the rest because you believe in that God in three person, blessed Trinity. Then when he explained that a person is a personality and the personality is an individual and an individual is a person, and said, you're Trinity just like the rest, I looked at him and said, I don't believe that no more. All of my Baptist teaching from all of my life. And at that time, I was teaching the adult Sunday school class. The deacons and the elders of the church is what I was teaching. But yet I knew I didn't have it. Because I didn't have what that prophet was talking about. I didn't put it on, I come in the message. I put it on, what does the Word say? That's why I deal with it that way today. What does the Word say? But now listen, now watch. I am not reading these, and I'm not talking tonight about revelation of one God, revelation of serpent seed. We'll get to that. See? We'll get to where if you talk about a revelation being a substance. We'll get to that. But I'm talking about a substance going to be for a while, but yet not be there permanently. I'm talking about a whole Bible behind me of people that walked in a life of the realm, of the spiritual realm, but were not born again believers, but yet would take and believe what God said. It's just like, who was it the other day was preaching on, who shall declare this generation? Who was that preaching the other week? Was it the brother from... But anyhow, Wade saw me turn over there because I knew it, and I turned over in the Bible and looked. See, the generation, Enoch declared the generation. Brother Harris, other Wednesday night. Enoch declared their generation back there because he went in the rapture. He walked off the earth. He produced what the whole Old Testament was talking about. But who shall declare this generation? But see, this generation didn't start with Adam. This generation didn't start until Abraham come on the scene. And then you run the lineage in Matthew from Abraham to Jesus. Now who's going to declare this generation? Because this generation comes from a man that could take what God said. You heard the story told about how Abraham was there and he's making idols for his daddy because he was a heathen, or his dad-in-law. And he was making idols for him. The dad-in-law went off probably to sell some idols. And when he come back, David never heard it, I don't reckon, the other day. He's dying laughing about it. But even that Jewish rabbi, Rabbi Richmond, was telling it. Because it's an old story that Abraham, he looked down there and seen all them. He said, "It ain't no good." And he's got to beat them all up and he had one left. His dad-in-law come back and said, "My Lord, what happened? You destroyed all of my money. All of this." He said, "Well, now what happened was that all these gods got to fighting with each other. And said, this big guy won." Yeah. Now that's just a story that put him where he was doing it, because the big guy was the one that spoke to him. That when God spoke to Abraham, Abraham, he was Abram then, he believed God. He walked believing God had spoke to him. Not able to show any sign. But yet all the time he was getting the bird eyes and the booties and the different things, you know, the clothes together for the baby. He believed it. See, this thing starts with a man with a mental believing. But that mental believing over all the years one day became a substance called Isaac. He finally produced it. He had to believe that God spoke to him. What would you do? You know, I mean, I'm like this, I'm honest now, just forgive me if I'm wrong, you just do what you want to. I don't believe God come down to Abraham and said, "Hey, Abraham, I want to talk to you." I mean, audible voice. "I want to talk to you now. You hold on a little bit. I want to talk to you." I don't necessarily believe that. If it's right, all right, amen. I'm not worrying about it. But I believe he spoke on the inside of the man. But he found the human nature of a man that could believe him. He found a man with an ability to believe. And Jesus Christ come right from that. There's your faith seed. That's why we're called the children of Abraham by faith. Because we're the faith seed of Abraham. That's so hard to preach what, you know, because you just get on something and it just keeps up going. And, all right. But listen, church. Abraham had nothing to read. Simeon had nothing to read. Right? Who was it that back there, the one Gideon, he had nothing to read. Go back there and read all of them. Now you can read some of them that did have a background from others and things, you know. But still, my point is to get one thing. Now get this point. If you don't get nothing else tonight, get this one point. When you got faith for the time, that's God speaking personally to you. And there wasn't nobody else that God spoke to and told them that the baby was going to be in the arms or anything. It wasn't nobody else. All right, you get me? But now when you come to faith being a substance and talking about the revealed word, can be made known to everybody in this building tonight at one time. But it's still a personal revelation specifically to you. That's the difference in substance faith that we'll get to later. Substance faith of the Word of God can be made known. One God could be revealed to everybody in the building tonight. But not so with Simeon. He was the only man in the world that said, "You won't see death." So he had a revelation for that time. Now here's where I'm going with it. I'll forget all the notes, I guess. But see, when you're healed, now the prophet said healing's not eternal. Is that right? Healing is on a temporary basis. You can be healed today of cancer and die tomorrow of cancer. It has nothing to do with it. So what do you have on healing? Faith for the time. Faith for the time. Now I know I've been reading the Bible, and I'd be reading the Bible about something. I'd see something in the Bible, and like I've always told you, when you do that and the Lord reveals something to you, you say, my children. When God is dealing with you something about the opening of the Word, automatically, that's just something I've tried to teach you to do. Automatically, go right straight in there and say, my children, my family, my wife, my husband. Claim them right there while he's revealing it to you. But when it deals with you in healing you, like Brother Tom one the time I told you about, when he come over there and we prayed and he said, that's it. That was faith for the time. He didn't get a revelation of one God. He didn't get a revelation of serpent seed. When Brother Dean, his blood pressure went down there at work that day, he didn't get a revelation of one God or something like that. He had a revelation for the time. So in healing, you get a revelation for the time. That's why the prophet said, if you've got faith, what are you doing in the prayer line? But you know the reason I come to be prayed for? Because I only have at that time mental faith. Because when I got spiritual faith and it's made known to me, I'm like Simeon, I'll declare that I won't die. I'll declare my sickness is gone. I don't care if I'm laying in the hospital bed or where it is. I'll declare it to you. And it'll come to pass. But the reason I come to be prayed for, I need help to make it go from my mental faith to a spiritual revelation. So don't stop coming to the altar to be prayed for. That's what a lot of people do. Well, Brother Dale don't believe in praying. He don't want us to come to the altar. You lying devil. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about the one who's talking to you. Tell you that stuff. Because a lot of times it's like Brother John Martin, I believe it was, or Lee Vale one said, sometimes we're just too sick until we can't even believe. You ever hurt that bad? You ever hurt bad enough you couldn't even believe for your own self? We need somebody to help us. One can chase 1,000 to 10,000. See, that's why I say we're in the Bible. We don't have to go off on fanaticisms. We don't have to go, well, we won't have no more altar calls. Altar calls are a denominational thing. We won't have no more altar calls around here because we got faith. Now, when I'm sick, I want somebody to pray for me. I don't even care if the Lord's revealed to me that I'm healed. I still want somebody to pray for me. I told you about that work, that woman preacher, Nell. I'd go over and tell her, Nell, the so-and-so's going wrong. Somebody's sick or I'm sick or something. Pray for me. I ain't having no woman preacher pray for me. Well, good. That proves you don't have no faith. Keep your sickness. Because, see, I know the woman preacher. Because that woman preacher was a mess. But she was anointed. And you know, Danny, who I wanted to pray for me? I wanted the anointing to pray for me. It didn't matter what the outside was. That anointing can touch God. That's what I'm talking about. Faith for that time. That's why it works. That's why anointed ones can pray and God will hear and do. They're not concerned with salvation. They're not concerned with walking in the Word of God. Just like the man the other day. Kept on saying, I'm loyal to my wife. I ain't have no problem. Oh, yeah, I bought some amphetamines or some kind of thing. Oh, yeah, and I went down and let this guy massage me. Come find out, they say, and now he had a 3-year affair already going. But you see, he's preaching. He was the head of a big thousands of people. He was the president over the people. But he probably still says he's saved. Well, Brother Dale, you don't want him to go to hell for that. No, because I didn't have anything to do with it. I don't have anything to do with Judas Iscariot going to hell. The only one I can have to keep go to hell or keep out of hell is me. I can do my best to try to help you, but that's all I can do. You see what I'm talking about? Faith for that time. Perfect faith for that time. The little woman touched him and was healed. Anointed ones can touch him and be healed. See great signs and wonders because that's what they dwell on. But you watch that. It's got to be a workup. You don't see any of them like Brother Branham saying, okay, now everybody calm down. Let's be reverent now. The Holy Spirit is here. Right? You don't see that. It's got to be some form of a workup system because it's in the spirit realm. But they can bring forth and get people healed. Because that's perfect faith. You know, revelation for the time. What? It's revealed to you that you're healed. It was revealed to Brother Tom that day we were standing there that he was healed. I was over there with him one time, Brother Dean and I, wasn't he? He told, I don't know where, about two or three different situations we've been there, but me and Brother Dean was out there waiting on the doctor come out, called. Called Brother Dean, knows him, you know, and everything. He went to him, and he called Brother Dean. He said, you guys done it. You guys done it. Brother Dean said, what do you mean? Well, see, the whole story, everybody knows it. Brother Tom went in there, and that same doctor found a polyp in his bladder. He found it himself. Went back to get it. It wasn't there. He said, you guys done it. You guys done it. Said, all I done flushed him out. Said, he's on his way home. That's a doctor testifying. But see, that's faith for that time. And it's faith. It's a revelation. See, a sinner can get a revelation, they're healed. Now, here's the point. A sinner don't get a revelation of one God. I don't care how much you can quote now. Quotes ain't revelation. A sinner cannot get a revelation of serpent seed and things like that, a true revelation. Now, they can get the letter of the word, they can follow it. That's why you see people, that's why that I've always said this way. You see people years ago, especially now, the ones that are coming in now is not the way. But years ago, everybody come in, what was it? We're against them denomination. We're against them denomination. We're against them denomination. We come out of them denomination. I said, you show me a man that comes out of denomination because you overpowered his thinking, and you see him go right back. But I said, give me one that comes out because of the one true and living God and walking in the water baptism. I said, you'll see him walking on with God's word. I like Sister Gail. Come in fighting. I don't like this being, oh yeah, I believe. I believed it to begin with. Well, the first time I heard anything, I just believed it. No. See, it's faith for the time. Do you understand? Simeon got faith for the time. Peter had faith for the time. The disciples had faith for the time. Because they were casting out devils and all kind of. But all at once, they hit the epileptic child. Well, when they did, it was gone. Their substance was gone. Brother Randall says perfect faith. They still had the power. Because Jesus gave it to them. But said he didn't have any faith to release that. But see, a sinner can get a revelation. But his revelation won't be on the word like going God, water baptism, no eternal hell, etc. like that. His faith will be for the time of what he needs. The man that I'm thinking of, that Brother Woodby told me about one time, said the man had faith that he'd seen him go walk into a ticket office without a dime in his pocket and had to go travel on a long distance on an airplane. And said, walk to the ticket office without a dime in his pocket. And said, walk away with the ticket in his hand. Now that's what you call faith for the time. because somebody would walk by him and say, here, God said for me to give you this. But see, what the wrong is a lot of people is because that works. They think they're saved because that works. You're not saved by that. You're not saved by gifts and things. You're saved by believing Almighty God and accepting Him as your Savior. You're saved by that word that you've held in your heart, that the Holy Ghost can come down and quicken that word. Brother Moat used to call it like this. He said, let's pray that God would give you a little tug on your heart. Well, a little tug on the heart is not a conviction to get you to the altar, because the ones he's praying for was already in the altar, under conviction. He said, pray that God will give you a little tug on your heart. In other words, speak to you. I tell you, you're saved. See? We think just because we can say faith is a revelation. Well, faith is revelation, Brother Dale. Yeah, I'll give you about four or five right there. If we've got time, we'll read them. Where the prophet said, faith is a revelation. But he said that woman had revelation for the time, perfect faith for the time. That was a revelation to her. Simeon had a revelation that he wouldn't die. That didn't make him born again. So then faith, and watch now, this has got to tie together for later. Then faith is the substance of things hoped for. Simeon had the substance because he had a revelation. Come on, he had a revelation, he wouldn't die. That was the substance to him. But that substance never gave him the new birth. Because being as old as he was, surely he died before Jesus went to Calvary. I'm not saying those people are lost. See, that's what people can't understand when you start talking the way I do, that those people in the Old Testament didn't have the new birth. I knew that as a Baptist. What's wrong with you? Just like it's so bad to come along in this message and for a Baptist to have to preach justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost to you Pentecostals. But I knew as a Baptist there was a difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I knew as a Baptist that you wasn't born again in the Old Testament. Why? Because I read my Bible. Because my Bible said, and the Holy Ghost had not been given because Jesus had not been crucified. That's after he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And I just couldn't explain that scripture. But when Brother Branham come along, he said that's like a promise that if you ask for something and God promises it to you. He said he promised them disciples the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right, but they had to wait till the upper room to get it.
Right.
You know the story. Brother Brown wasn't kidding when he said they got in the upper room and they said, well, Peter, we've been here now 8 days. Let's just take it by faith. We've been called. We've seen all kind of devils cast out. We've seen miracles. We've seen the Jesus when he raised. We've seen all these. Let's just go out and tell the world. Go tell the world that Jesus is raised. Peter said, but hold it just a minute. I don't think we've got the power we need to do that with. Because why are we a bunch of cowards sitting up here in this upper room? Why ain't we out there doing it? Then they realize, hey, something's not right. So let's wait. Church, do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a difference between a revelation faith of the new birth than just a faith to be healed. But that's still a revelation if it's revealed to you. And it's still a substance to you. But it's only a substance for that time. So you can be healed today and a week later die the same thing. That's where the prophet couldn't explain it to him because the people couldn't understand. They called him a divine healer. Divine healer means divine. That means you'll never get sick no more. He said, there's no such thing. He said, I'm no more a divine healer than you are preaching the gospel makes you a divine savior. That's why he was trying his best to tear that down, because when you say divine, that would mean you could never be sick no more if you said you're a divine healer. If you say, Brother Ryan, you say, well, Lord, the Lord, I'm divinely healed. That means you can never be sick of nothing. Yeah, we go out of this world, that'll be true, but not while we're here. That's why the prophet couldn't explain it. See, they said he was a divine healer. He said, I'm not a divine healer. He said, there's only one divine healer. Then he turned around and explained that divine healer would heal you one day of something and let you die a week later for the same thing. That's where you Pentecostals could never understand that. See, a lot of our faith is, now watch, a lot of our faith is mental faith. A lot of it might even be a substance faith, but it'd be faith for the time. God don't have to reveal one God to you or some secret thing in the Bible to heal you. He said we was healed. Ask him to reveal it to you. Well, I've got faith. Well, what are you doing in the prayer line? I know you don't like for me to keep bone. I talked about it the other day. I thought I'd refer to that about every service now. But when that doctor, when he said, I'll take that kneecap off, I looked at him in life. And I read there, it's in perfect faith. Brother Brown said, when you got to faith, said you locked life in a doctor's faith. That struck me the other day because that's exactly what I've done. I looked at him in life. This old gentleman come in there with pain all over him. I liked him. He's a wonderful old doctor. And I mean, he just common, you know. I looked at him. I thought, hey, you're a pretty good guy, you know. He pain all over his clothes, his shoes, and everything. I don't know what he'd been doing. He said, I'll take your kneecap off, Sam. He says, we're out. Here's the x-rays. Here's all these things. I said, you ain't taking my kneecap off. Why? Because I was walking on a substance, and I'm still walking on them today. How do I know I was healed, Brother Dick? Because I still got my kneecaps. And that's probably 30 years ago or more. How much can you walk and talk about the faith of God that when it's revealed to you, that's it? Now, listen to this. Have you ever been healed? Because I did one time in my eyesight. I was healed one time when I went in the doctor's office thinking I couldn't see. And I came out of the doctor's office with 20/20. I went in and couldn't read. I came out being able to read. For 8 years, I did not wear glasses. I only use them now for reading. And I didn't know I was healed until the doctor told me I was healed. But when I walked back out of the office, I looked around and said, I can see. You know. See, because God is wonderful. But it's a confession. We were there at home one time. You've heard me tell this, I'm sure. Wade, years ago, he used to have a lot of trouble with it. They had to finally take his tonsils out, and he'd have a lot of trouble with it. And he'd just get violently sick and just, you know, high temperatures and all kind of things. And Brother and Sister Tatum, and Brother Tatum could hear this. He could tell you in a hurry. They actually, him and Sister Tatum and me and Peggy, we didn't even go to church that day because Wade was so sick. I mean, he was just deathly sick. And we even put ice in fruit jars and put it around him because his temperature was running so high. And we'd pray, and it seemed to go down, and it'd come right back up. We'd pray, and it'd go up and down. Finally, I said, well, we've got to go to the doctor, you know. So we called the doctor. The doctor said, yeah, I'll meet you at the office. Come on. But I said, Lord, I believe you. And before that doctor touches him, you make him well. We walked in the doctor's office, and here's the doctor come up to take care of him. I hated it. I tried my best to pay the man. Because when Wade walked in the front door and the doctor was behind the counter, he said, hey, Sam, hey, where's the boy? He went, and he just covered the place up. Vomited all over the place. His doctor said, take him on back home. He'd be hot now. Never even touched him. Why? Because it was believing God. How many of you can tell of experiences like that? But see, then maybe turn around 2 weeks later and praying for him for some reason or something, and God seemingly not touch him. Why? Because I had faith for the time. Something dropped down into my heart. It's the difference when it drops down into your heart than it is when it's in your head. The way you tell the difference when it's in your heart, you can sit there and look at the thermometer running up and down and say, by stripes, I'm healed. But if it's in your head, I better go to the doctor. It's up now, down, up. Oh, we better get the medical book. Might as well go to the doctor. Well, that's sensible. But now listen, do you understand what I'm talking about? Now watch, we'll read these, and then remember what I'm reading them for, and then Sunday I'll pick it up again from the same thing. But listen to what your prophet had to say now. He's talking about faith. Here's a revelation of the will of God. So now remember what we're using it. Not as revelation like one God, water baptism, something written in the Word, even though it is written in the Word. But Simeon had nothing to read out of the Word. Abraham had nothing to read out of the Word. It was faith for the time. Right? And what? Paragraph 53, anointed ones, the end time. 1965, 7:25 in the morning. You said it wasn't a revelation. What is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God, so by revelation. And the churches today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in a dogmatic teaching of some system. Listen, by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than of Cain. Where did Abel get anything to do that from? Where did he have a book to read it from? He had faith for the time, which God testified he was righteous. Oh, amen, I hope you see it. See where we're living. Invisible union, paragraph or page 24, invisible union. 65, 11, 25. What is it? What is a revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Faith is a revelation because faith has been revealed to you. Abel by faith offered, by revelation, faith offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. See, Cain thought it was with the apples. Works is faith expressed, 1965, 11:26. Now, faith is a revelation from God. Now, faith is a revelation. That's where I want to stay there just a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by His grace. It's nothing you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You never had faith. It's given to you by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation, and the whole church of God is built upon the revelation. Paragraph 117, same message, works as faith expressed. In an audience of people where a prayer line comes through, you'll find some, they were all good people, we'll say. There are some that's trying hard to believe it, trying to work themselves into it. Some just can't do it at all, and others it's just by grace. It's just given to them. Now, there is the difference, see. What that does it? That's the real revelation, because faith is a revelation from God. It must be revealed first. Rapture message, paragraph 65, 1965, 1204. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation. The true bride of Christ will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. And what? You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't. Now, faith. That's what faith is. It's the revelation of God. The church is built upon revelation, the whole entire body. Now, we'll reuse these same quotes as we go through faith being a substance and a revelation of the Word of God. But tonight we're only dealing with Peter. No scripture to say, can I walk on the water? He wasn't putting it on the scripture. Simeon, no scripture. So it's faith for the time. All right. When we get to the Word of God being that, we'll see that it actually comes out to be a deeper meaning of the same faith. See, faith is made, revelation is made known of healings and things like that. And all right, now here's the same thing. Then that cometh by hearing. Now, faith for the time. The little woman heard of the things Jesus had done and said, if I could just touch his garment, it wouldn't just, well, if I could just get a hold of that guy. No, she had heard about it. Peter was walking on the water because Jesus said, come. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the Word of God. Now that's true for faith for that time. That's why it works. But you cannot call people to a prayer line and call their lives out and show them what's wrong in their lives and get them healed. Come on. How much healing would you get if you called a prayer line with a bunch of people and told them to come up and then you started telling what was wrong with them? Come on, you wouldn't get very many, right? But you call them up there and you shake them, and you scream over them, you holler at them, and you get a lot of people healed. But just remember what I told you Sunday. A sinner can get healed. But the Bible says, go and sin no more, lest a worser thing come upon you. Because it's going to come back on him in some other form. Because he doesn't have anything to keep it off. A Christian has an anchor in God. So it's faith for the time. Certain things that is not listed in the letter of the word that takes place. God has spoken to people of different ages and of different things. And you see then why a sinner can get a revelation of why of that he's healed. But not be born again in the soul, because that revelation is not into his soul. It's for the time. But if he does not continue in the word, it will come back upon him in a worser thing. What's that? So then I'm not talking about faith, revelation of one God, water baptism, serpent seed, etc. I'm talking about faith for the time. Now watch now. Then faith for the time can move mountains. Or else your prophet is wrong when he said that you didn't have to be a Christian for Mark 11 to work. He said that's for anybody. Anybody's got a faith for the time. What did he say? He said if God spoke to me and told me George Washington, that ain't no scripture to read. So he ain't talking about that way. He said if God spoke to me and told me George Washington was raised dead, he said I'd call the world. Why? Because it's faith for the time. It's a revelation for the time. See, to say unto this mountain, God can reveal certain things to people that are not even born again. Oh, what it is when it comes to the new birth. When it comes to the new birth. Anointed ones are not concerned with the revelation of God's word. They're only concerned with getting you emotionally worked up and getting signs and wonders to take place and then say, we must be of God because look what we are doing. Because you know what I've said this way, and you know this is true because I said it many, many years ago. I said it many times to you. You take Benny Hinn or any of those men and the great faiths that they had, why didn't they follow Brother Branham's message? Why didn't a great man like Oral Roberts that saw all kind of things take place, all kind of miracles and wonders that could take place in the man's ministry, Brother Moat said he was sitting watching, I believe it was A.A. Allen, praying for a boy with his foot 5 inches shorter. And he said, they told him, said, bow your head. He said, I didn't bow mine. I looked. He said, that boy's foot growed 5 inches just like that. And he walked out. Why? Because they work in the realm of the spirit realm through emotionalism, and they can make contact with people that are emotional. Because a lot of people are built like this. That's why I don't do it. And won't do it a lot of times when God tells me things. Why? Because I come up here and I say, the Lord told me that a certain person was going to be healed tonight. That automatically sets the stage that somebody's coming to the altar. You don't hear me saying that, do you? But you have heard me say this. It won't rain until I say it will rain. And it didn't until I called for it, 1980-something. How many things do you want to stand here the rest of the night and talk about that God has spoken through these old human lips to say God said this was the way it will be, and it is that way? But you don't hear me come out here and say things like that. Somebody's going to be healed. I just feel like somebody. I don't deal with my feelings. When it comes to this Bible, I got one thing to deal with. What God said. I could stand here and say, I believe so-and-so, I believe somebody coming to the altar tonight and be healed. And 4 or 5 people get up and walk up here. I stood in a fellowship meeting one night. Certain brother in this message that nobody don't care for, and I don't care for his emotionalisms and things. I would tell him in a hurry, in a heartbeat, wouldn't care. But the man stood right there and he said, there's somebody in this church that needs to come to the altar. There was about 5 people got up and walked to the altar. That brother looked over at me and he said, Brother Dale, that's not neither one of them. He had 5 chances of saying, look what I said. He said, that is not one. There's one more left. I stopped the whole meeting because they were making light of the man. And I told him, I said, you can believe what you want to, and you can do what you want to, but the man just told me that none of those 5 is that person he knows. I looked back there, and I knew what he's talking about. In a minute, that lady walked out, they'd come down, he said, that's it, Sam. I knew that was it, because I could see what it was my own self. But you see, when it's real, you don't have to worry about it. When I was in Jamaica standing up there, they laughed at that Pastor Clark and made light of him. Prophet Clark, they called him. Said he had gifts and things. I saw him 2 times be exactly right. Why? Because God showed me. I knew he was right because God showed me. Then when we went straight to that person and told him what it was, I knew it. Because when God speaks to you, you don't have to worry about it at all. But I could be lost as Judas Iscariot, and that still work. Because that deals in the line of gifts. But oh, how much it is when you're not lost. And you can stand there and see God move and know what's going on. See, I don't want you built on something that Brother Dale has got to tell you this. I want you built on the basis of what God has spoken to you. Because what he speaks to me is not to you. As I said about Simeon, that was to Simeon only. Now when it comes to revealing the word, he can reveal itself to every one of us here tonight. But it'll still be personal. Come on, Brother Boyd. You see, church, I'm trying to get you to see what faith really is. But anointed ones deal in that emotional realm, and they got to have emotional workups to be able to believe that they're healed. If they can get some kind of a feeling or some kind of a doing, they'll accept their healing. Instead of just saying, God said it and I believe it. Faith for that time. A revelation that is not. Now, how can you say this to make it right? I don't understand. I ain't got no education. You can have a revelation that you're healed. The revelation that you're healed is eternal. If God reveals to you you're healed, that's eternal. But you can lose that part. Because you can lose that healing. But when he reveals to you the word, you will never lose that. Because that is eternal. The other is faith for the time. Let's stand together. Go ahead. 152 in the red book. Listen, church, don't stop calling upon God. Don't stop coming to the altar and praying. Just get it right what you're doing. Don't come up here and say, Brother Dale, I got all kind of faith, but you just pray for me, will you? No need being up here if you got all kind of faith. I told you, when I come, I say, pray for me, that God will touch. That's why the Bible says, call for the elders. Why? One chase a thousand, two 10,000. Get help. Call one another. Pray for me. What's wrong with that? I'm having a bad day. Pray for me. You might be surprised that it might work. No? Go ahead, bro. Let's just sing. Anybody have a need? Day what tomorrow may bring, it shadows our sunshine, our rain. That's good. All right. Father, you heard our brother. And Lord Jesus, we know and realize this is just human. And Father, just help our brother and our sister to understand you, Lord. For that's the way you work. That's the way you deal. But just keep on going. Keep on reading and keep on praying. Keep on seeking the Lord. And the answer will always come from thy word, Father. We believe you. We ask you now to touch our brother and sister in the line of faith, the revelation of you, Lord. And just help them to stand on what they've already had given unto them. And just open their understanding, Father. What a greater prayer could be made than for God himself to speak to us, to reveal himself to us. We love you, Father. We thank you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we count it done. Anybody else? Oh. Living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Is that true? Think about it. Let's believe. All right? One time Peggy had something that was wrong. And you know I didn't even pray for it. You know what I done? I laid hands on it. That's his Bible. Do we need prayer? Okay.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else? Believe. Just believe. And see. Father, we condemn this knot that's appeared upon our brother.
I care not today what
we condemn it under the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that by your stripes, our brother is healed. We've seen you touch him so many times in other parts of the body. How much would we doubt for one to this, Father? We don't doubt. We believe you. And we thank you. And we love you, Father, and we believe your word. Faith for the time. Touch our brother and take this away in Jesus' name. Go believe, you see. Don't worry about it. Anybody else? Say, any sheltering arm. Do you believe?
I'm living by faith.
Father, just touch our brother, Lord Jesus. Make known unto him. He believes you, and we believe you. And you said if any two would ask anything, it would be given unto him for your honor and glory. So we ask for deliverance for our brother from these situations of the body. We believe you. We thank you. By your stripes, our brother is healed. We believe you. We thank you. Just let it be now according to thy word. In Jesus' name. Believe it and see. Anybody else? From all harm saved. Any shelter. Perfect faith for that time. What's going to happen when that strikes down into our heart that he can put what's in our heart under our feet? That's what he done with Peter. He put what Peter had in his own ability to believe under his feet. And he began to walk. And as he did, sure, we talk about the losing, but just remember, he walked. You know what that proves? It can be done. If you say to this mountain, prove it can be done. I'm living by faith. And I feel no alarm. Father, our brother's asking for a great thing as a revelation. A revelation from you. We believe you. We believe that you was there with him in the wreck and all the things, and you walked with him. And we thank you for that. We rejoice in that and we glory. But today's another day. We need another day. We need another contact. We need another fellowship. We need another closeness of thy spirit. Just give our buddy a revelation of thee, Father. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just believe it. Just believe it. Just believe that God has healed you. You've got to confess it. What about salvation? Same thing. You've got to believe it. And you've got to confess it. You've got to confess it. How dare would any of us that walked as long as we have with Christ deny salvation? No. Can't take that out. No matter how I would die, whatever, that wouldn't have anything to do with my salvation. Because my salvation is eternal. It is not just for the time. It's for eternity. Oh, think about it. One more time before we go. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, joy my King. Malachi said, and a book of remembrance was written about the people. So God has heard. Let me tell you one thing to watch Brother Branham and watch the Bible. Let me tell you this one point where we go. Just watch this. Watch it when you're reading the Bible and when you're studying the message. And watch how positive. Watch how Brother Branham will even speak of people and healings that are already in the past tense when there's this coming up to him to be prayed for. Because it is. It is. Every person that would ever be saved would save before the world. But we just got to walk into it. But watch it and study the Bible that way. Just read it that way and watch the present tense of anything. And how perfect the word is written. Think of those things. Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight. I pray that what I've said has been worthy of being said. Just help us to understand. Help us to walk in the light of the hour that we're living. Father, just bless and guide. Be with everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. Let your love be made manifest in each one of our hearts. We love you and we thank you. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the thoughts of our minds, the things that we meditate on sometimes when we have no need of those things. Because all we need is you. Guide us now in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Pray one for another.